my name is Lily Chaudhry, and you're listening to Happiness Now, Secrets to Success from the East and West. This podcast is all about empowering us to achieve happiness and success in every aspect of life, and we'll look at the wisdom that's found in different cultures about this topic. These talks are based on the works of Gautam Ali Shah. He's a renowned teacher, trainer, and motivational speaker for the past 15 years based in Lahore, Pakistan. And in today's episode, we're going to discuss the meaning of what Gautam Ali Shah calls our inner millionaire. And we'll talk about the 7 keys that he defines that will help us unlock this inner millionaire. So he starts the talk with defining what millionaire means. And that is someone who's discovered his inner treasures, his innate talents, those things that'll bring a person ultimate happiness and success in life. Okay, so let's imagine a man who spends his entire life as a beggar, sitting on a box. And one day he dies, and after his death, that box is opened up, and there are millions of dollars in there. So all the while, he had all this money inside this box. He was sitting on a pot of gold, but he never used it. He never utilized it. Instead, he wasted his life as a beggar. And that's what many of us do in our lives. We don't see what we have. So the true millionaire is any person who can discover his inner potential and utilizes that potential in a productive way. So our talk today isn't about money. It's not at all about material possessions. It's about the treasures that many of us never even try to discover, our inner resources, our inner riches. I mean, it's true that all of us have desires for something more, to have a better job, a better car, a bigger house, the latest gadgets. The person who doesn't have a job wants a job. The person who has a job wants a promotion. The single person wants to get married. The married couple wants to have their first baby. A person renting an apartment wants to own his own home. A person who has a house wants a bigger house. So the problem is that in our pursuit of worldly gain, we suppress what's inside of us, our hidden talents. We think somehow that by ignoring what's inside of us, we'll gain more, when in fact, the key is within us. If we unlock our inner millionaire, when we let it come out, it serves us, and it makes our desires a reality. So the first step towards ultimate riches is to start our journey of self-analysis. And this journey leading to our inner world is a long path. It is a lifelong journey. But we can't waste any time starting on this journey. It's urgent and important. And that's from our episode on the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, for those of you who have heard that. So on our journey to self-discovery, some of us might find our inner treasures earlier than others. But the important thing is that we start on that path. And Gautam Ali Shah again defines 7 keys that'll help us unlock our inner treasures. Okay, so the first key of unlocking that millionaire within us is education. So we see thousands of people, millions of people graduating college year after year. In the US alone, there's about 1.8 million people who will graduate with a bachelor's degree this year. But very few of us, out of those who have had the privilege of getting a good education, will become extraordinary. Very few of us will make a name for ourselves. So why is this? Well, formal education today is not doing what it should be doing, and that is teaching self-awareness and helping us to discover our own hidden potentials. Our degrees don't help us connect with our inner selves, and usually our inner treasures remain hidden from us, even after years of schooling. So every year, thousands of us will die like that old beggar who just sat on top of his treasure without ever using it, trying hard to get something out of this world instead of looking within himself first. But anyway, we're talking here about education as being a key to unlocking our millionaire. So it does serve a purpose. Although our education systems are not playing the role they should be playing, we still can't underestimate the power of school. Our schools and homes are the first place where our minds are written on. It's in school that we first discover that it's human beings like us who have invented and discovered the things that we want to have. It's not the other way around. So when a child wants an airplane, he should be told about the person who dreamt of flying and who came up with this amazing discovery. And in this way, through education, a child will realize that he is more important than anything that he wants. He is bigger than all of his desires. And I think this is an important message for all of us too. No matter what our dreams are, what we want to pursue, we should remind ourselves that these are our dreams and we are bigger than the dream itself. So it's by learning about these types of things through formal education about the world and about the people in it that we can potentially start to learn about ourselves. Start that fire to find out about our inner treasures, our hidden assets. And number two, defining memories. Lao Tzu once said, "Knowing others is intelligence. Knowing yourself is true wisdom. Mastering others is strength, but mastering yourself is true power." We should all be on a constant, never-ending journey of self-discovery. And it's in this analysis that we might end up recalling defining memories, moments in our lives that can give us a glimpse into who we are, what we're meant to be, and what our true potential is. I mean, we can look for clues. Has there been any defining moment where we had that first glimpse of treasures that are hidden within us? Someone once asked Warren Buffett, "Did you always know that you were going to be rich?" He said that when he was in school, he would often see kids during the breaks buying soda. So whenever he saw a group of kids, he would go and buy some soda and sell it to them and make a small profit. And whenever he put that money into his pocket, he would be dreaming of being a rich man one day. Gautam Leshaw shares his own story that when he was 7 years old, in second grade, he was getting ready to go to school and his mom asked him to recite the essay that he had learned for his oral quiz that day. And while he was reciting it, he saw his mom tearing up. And seeing his mom cry made him cry. But that was the glimpse that he remembers, a glimpse into his future as a speaker and a trainer. Okay, number three is called recalling the praise. All of us have had some kind of compliments during our lives, some positive, encouraging comments, people praising us. And this could help us understand, unearth some of our innate hidden talents that we have. So these are compliments maybe from a friend, a teacher, a boss, a family member. Someone has likely said something to us to give us a clue about what our inner strengths are. Unfortunately, most of us underestimate the significance of these things that are said to us, that we're being told, "Hey, that was amazing. You did a great job. Wow, you are so good at that," or whatever. So what happens is we exhaust ourselves in doing the wrong things in life. So those who are praised for being great runners exhaust themselves trying to swim, and the swimmers exhaust themselves trying to run. So we might be exhausting ourselves in something other than what people are seeing as our strengths and are pointing those out to us, but often we aren't paying enough attention or giving those comments enough significance to self-analyze. Last year, I reconnected with a man I met about 12 years ago, I guess. I'd hired him to design a website for me. I found him online. He was a freelancer. He was based in Pakistan, and I remember he was charging only $500 for an entire e-commerce website. So I ended up meeting him a few times in Pakistan when I was visiting family during that time. And I just remember he was incredibly honest and reliable and really noble. I mean, when I decided halfway through the project, I didn't really want to do the business anymore. I just paid him the money and thanked him for the work he had done. But he kept emailing me and asking if he could just finish the project, that maybe I'd change my mind later. He didn't want to take my money and not do the work. But I assured him that it was okay and I was happy with what he had done. So fast forward in 2016, last year, I saw him on Facebook. He had messaged me and told me that he's now CEO of his own IT company. I was so proud of him. But then he told me a bit about his background and the condition he was in the last time I had met him. So as a child, he grew up in poverty. His father left him and his mom and siblings, and they ended up living with some pretty ruthless family members who treated him horribly, physically and verbally abusing them. And his family struggled to have enough food to eat, and they were living in a closet of a room, the four of them. And he started working as a child, and one of his jobs was in a pharmaceutical company. But one day he got an unexpected break. The person who controlled the inventory system by computer was on a break, so he was asked to manage it. He ended up learning DOS pretty quickly, and he spent long days understanding and experimenting with the program. He realized he could come up with a better system, and his boss gave him that chance. The system he made was much better than any the company had had, and it started getting praise and recognition by management and by other companies, who eventually asked him to help them as well. So this was the start of his IT career. So the time that I had found him freelancing for me, he said that although he had a job, he didn't own his own computer or even have internet because he used his salary to support his family. So he was doing all this freelance work from an internet cafe. And his name is Kamal Masroor. Today, he has his own company called Click9 based in Karachi, Pakistan. And they're known for their excellent work in creating websites, mobile apps, gaming, etc. And they do work for some major corporations in Pakistan. And he's also the founder of Tech Pakistan, an organization that's a platform for technology CEOs to network with other sectors to create an IT infrastructure throughout Pakistan. He now rubs shoulders with some of the biggest players in technology, business, education, and government. So getting that praise, that acknowledgement, can help us recognize our own talents. Okay, the fourth key to unlocking our inner millionaire, Qasim Ali Shah calls this, what doesn't exhaust you? Okay, basically meaning, what are those things that we don't get tired of doing? What is that thing that takes us out of time and space? Something that we can do for hours and days and we don't get tired of it. It doesn't deplete us mentally. The answer to this question could be the very hidden treasure that we're looking for. But this takes time and a lot of self-analysis. It's not easy. I mean, since I've been working on this episode this week, I really have been trying to answer some of these questions, really digging deep into myself. What do I love to do? What have other people said I'm good at? There's no surefire ways to find our natural talents. But the answer to these questions could very well give us the answer, or at least possibly some clues. I mean, the only thing I could come up with, something that doesn't exhaust me. I love, love, love anything self-help. Talks, videos, motivational speakers. I mean, the few books that I have read in my life willingly, out of no compulsion for a class or work, are usually advice books on patience, gratitude, again, some type of self-improvement topic. So at least considering my answer to what doesn't exhaust you, I know that doing this podcast is something that does make sense for me to do. And although we are always working on improving our podcast, expanding our listenership, it's really brought me a lot of happiness doing it. And I hope a bit to you as well. So these sources of self-discovery should not be ignored. Okay, number 5 is called inspiring company. And this is basically about the company that we choose to spend our time with. And we're not just talking about our friends. It can be books we read, celebrities we follow, or characters we connect with. Rumi once narrated a story about a lion cub who got lost. And he found a herd of sheep, and he started living with the sheep. So time passed, and the little cub adopted to living with the sheep and adopted their habits. And then one day, another lion, who had his instincts to hunt, attacked the herd, and he caught one of the sheep. He killed it, and he began to eat it. Witnessing this, the sheep-like lion's carnivorous instincts were instantly awakened. So the company that we keep affects us deeply. It can make us lions or sheep. So people who spend time with business folks can't help but to start think like them. Same goes for artist circles or politicians, etc. These are communities who share a way of thinking, a way of acting. So we should always be thinking, who are we choosing to keep company with? And who is the right company for us? What types of people uplift us? Who inspires us? Who helps us realize our hidden gems within us, our inner talents? And this will be like-minded people. When we spend time with people who are like-minded, will feel uplifted and motivated to find the best of ourselves. Gossam Li Sha suggests a quick activity that can help us understand what types of people we like keeping company with. So basically, write down the names and professions of five people who inspire us. They don't have to be people we know. It can be anybody. It can be people we've heard about, people we read about, etc. So the kinds of people they are and the type of work that they do is likely to be like-minded to us. And these should be the type of people we spend time with. We should try to find friends who have similar traits as well. It'll help keep us inspired, motivated, and working to unearth our best potential. Number six, the sixth key in unlocking our inner millionaire is our burning desire. Gossam Li Sha says that our burning desire could be the very thing that we're made for. It could be the clue to unlocking our element. Okay, some people may already know they have a burning desire for something, but some of us aren't so sure. Or some of us think that we don't have any. But the fact is that if you're tuned into a podcast like this entitled Happiness Now, that tells me that you probably do have a desire for something, something bigger. So it might take us some self-examination, but I think many of us have this type of desire in us. We just don't know it. And Gossam Li Sha points out some of the signs of a burning desire. Number one, our want for it causes tears in our eyes. So it moves us. Number two, it's something we pray for. So when we're alone, we raise our hands to God. What are those things that we ask for? And number three, we think about it relentlessly. It's something that's persistently in our minds. Sir Kenneth Robinson is a British author, speaker, and international advisor on education and arts. He wrote the book called The Element, How Finding Your Passion Changes Everything. It was published in 2009. By the way, his TED Talk entitled Do Schools Kill Creativity is the most watched TED Talk of all time. Over 44 million views. Yikes, that's a lot. So Robinson says what he calls the element refers to the experience of personal talent meeting personal passion. He argues that in this meeting, we feel the most ourselves, the most inspired, and we achieve to our highest level. Okay, and number seven, Gossam Li Sha says that this key is probably the most important or effective of all the keys to unlocking our millionaire. And it's a small exercise. So let's imagine we've all been given another life. We can start all over. What would we like to do with it? What do we want to accomplish? What do we want to be known for? How would we want to brand ourselves? And this doesn't mean for fame. It's about what do we stand for? For example, the late Steve Jobs will always be known as an innovator, a technology giant, a leader. Abdul Sattar Eidi, we spoke about him in episode 11, Turning Weakness to Strength. Listen now if you haven't. But he'll always be known for his compassion, his care, his love, his philanthropy, and his service to his fellow man. So these things are their brand, what they will always be recognized for. So what do we want to be known for? And these are pretty deep questions. It will take some thinking. Gossam Li Sha says that it's a quick exercise, but I know I would need a whole lot of time on this one. And there's just so much to think about. But since I only have about an hour to get this done right now, I'll tell you at least a few things that I would do if I had a second life. So first, I think I wouldn't be afraid to make my own decisions, personal decisions. I would think less and care less about what others think and more about what I think. I know now that only I have to live my life and it doesn't matter one bit what others think. As long as I feel God is happy with me and I'm not hurting anybody, I would do what makes me happy. Second, I would probably start my own business. No question. I've worked in corporate jobs for about 15 years now, and from that, I know that I would like to have started my own business. I mean, I know I can still do this, but having three little kids and a husband in a medical residency program, I'm not sure it's a good idea for taking so much of a risk. And third, I would create a life where I could spend more time with my loved ones. So the point of this exercise, like all the keys that Qasim Ali Shah has mentioned, is for us to start understanding what our inner strengths are and start to use them. So I guess I have a better idea of where I can possibly go. It's a bit scary, but yeah, I think it's important to take the time to evaluate ourselves and then make changes in our lives accordingly. So knowing what gems we hold within us is really the only way to achieve a happier and more successful life. Qasim Ali Shah reminds us to stop waiting for the perfect scenario or resources to start living our truths. We have to utilize what we have at this moment, discover our inner assets, and start using them now, not wait for any better time. Many of us die waiting for that ideal time to start living our true inner self. That ideal day never comes. A famous Sufi sheikh, Sheikh Sadi, said, "The one who waits for an ideal tomorrow should rest assured that the ideal tomorrow will never come. Make this moment the ideal moment." Qasim Ali Shah concludes his talk by reminding us that the true riches of this life aren't money or fame. It's contentment, inner peace. Even if we have mountains of wealth and we don't have peace, we have nothing. And the whole point of this podcast and most of Qasim Ali Shah's talks are that we have the power within us already to have happiness and success in the way that we want it. We can be millionaires if we choose to be. We can have true riches if we choose to. We just need to unlock it. So today we looked at the 7 keys that can help us unlock our inner millionaire, help us find that inner treasure, those inner gems within us that we all have. And those 7 keys being an education, defining memories, recalling praise, what doesn't exhaust us, having inspiring and like-minded company, discovering our burning desire, and defining our ideal life. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you've enjoyed our episode, please share it with others. And of course, feel free to share your comments and questions with us. You can message us on our website, www.happinessnowpodcast.com, or send us a message on Facebook. And until next time, I'm Lily Chaudhry. Please take care and take control.